The idea of the Spirit held by the average church member is so vague as to be non-existent. So said A.W. Tozer in 1950, and very applicable for today as well. Is that not true in many church circles today? Is it not true with us? Why are more people not coming to Jesus and being truly converted? Why are more people not praying? Why can attendance at times be sporadic and disappointing? You see, the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ depends upon the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I just want to pick up on a few New Testament phrases that in many ways depict for us the believer, the man, the woman, the young person who is seeking to live for God. And the first picture that I just remind you of this morning is the one that we read, that a Christian is someone who is born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. And this teaching that Jesus brought to the religious man at Nicodemus is something that's very distinctive of Christianity and basic to Christianity. Someone once approached a Christian minister and said, "Sir, I would like to be a Christian, but not a born-again Christian." To which the minister said, "That is not possible, because by definition, a Christian is someone who has been born of God." And that's something that we need to be reminded of again and again. You know, as the Bible teaches us, there's many a thing that may not have happened to you, but you can be assured of heaven to come. And the example that I often think about in the Bible is the thief on the cross. Do you remember the thief on the cross who looked to Christ? He had never been baptized, but he would be in glory. He had never been at the Lord's table, but he would be in glory. Why? Because he had been born of God. Even if you like, at the 11th hour, as he looked to Christ and as he believed in Christ. And this is absolutely necessary and indispensable to be a true believer. I love reading about George Whitefield. As you know, George Whitefield and John Wesley lived at the same time back in England a couple of centuries ago. George Whitefield was one day asked, "Mr. Whitefield, why are you always telling people that they must be born again?" To which he replied, "Because they must." And maybe there's someone here this morning and this is a wake-up call for you. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're thinking, "Well, I'll try my best. I'll go along now and again when the idea comes into my head to church. I'll maybe even read the Bible now and again. I'll try my best. I'll say a few prayers, etc., etc." And folks, if that is you, then you must realize that that is not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has been born of God. Sometimes people think about this and immediately think of some very dramatic conversion story. That may be the case for some. But I suspect that for many, their experience of being born of God is not dramatic at all. It's a very quiet, unseen, work of God in the heart. In fact, I know of situations where people have been awakened. And I have said, you know what? Do you want me to tell you what I think is happening in your life? You may not even fully realize this, but you have been born of God. You see, it doesn't have to be dramatic. It may be, but it absolutely doesn't have to be. And I think there are many, even in a community like this, who think that the conversion has to be something very dramatic and almost from the rooftops, the thunder and the lightning going. But it can actually also be a very undramatic. Do you remember Lydia in the Bible? And the Bible tells us that as she heard the gospel being explained, the Lord just opened her heart as she sat there by the riverside. Do not get hung up on how or the what. Just make sure that you have experienced the new birth. Tell me this morning, are you born of God? Are you born of God? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is a great necessity. Born of God. But for those who are born of God, and God alone knows who they are, there is something else that I want to draw to your attention this morning. And it's another little phrase that we have in the New Testament. So a Christian is, first of all, someone who is born of the Spirit. But a Christian is also someone who is filled with the Spirit. And Michael, you can just bring it on there. It's not working for me. Filled with the Spirit. Let me remind you of what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's for everyone. Not just for a few or the chosen few. And it's a continual experience. You see, the Bible teaches us that when we are born of God, it's the Holy Spirit who does that work. And so when you are born of God, the Spirit is already at work in your heart. And so this call to be filled with the Spirit is not to be understood in the sense that we're coming to God asking us to give us His Spirit. He has already given us His Spirit. So what does it actually mean to be continually filled with the Spirit? And let me ask you these questions to try and illustrate as to why this is absolutely vital in these days. Why can there be a low level of spiritual attainment in the lives of many who profess Christ? Why sometimes can Christians give the impression of remaining like little spiritual babies for all of their life, when God is calling us to grow up into men and women of God? It's because we're not having this experience of continually being filled with the Spirit. And Paul says, and Paul was speaking into a context here in Ephesus, where very often there were great events arranged and great celebrations set up. And sadly, part of these would be that people would indulge themselves far too much with wine. And they would not be temperate. And they would be drunk. And Paul, speaking to the Ephesian brothers and sisters, says, you're not to live that way. You're to be different. And you're absolutely not to be drunk with wine. At the very least, you're to be temperate. But here's something else, says the apostle. I want you to be filled with another spirit, not with the spirit of the age, but with the spirit of the living God. And folks, here is a word for today, isn't it? In an age of terrible alcohol abuse, in an age when even in our own town, sadly, the weekend will see many young people intoxicated and drunk with the spirit of this age, looking for life, looking for satisfaction, looking for a little bit of a kick. And I say this not in a judgmental way at all, but as with an appeal from a pastor's heart that for young and old who are looking for something, that the answer is not to be found at the bottom of a bottle. The answer is not to be found in these things, but the answer is to be found in an experience with God, an experience with Christ, an experience of coming to know Christ, an experience of coming to really know Him and to live for Him and to set your life living for Him day by day and week by week. The Word of God says, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you a future. And the devil whispers into the lives of many of our young people and many older people, oh, forget all of that God stuff. That'll constrain you. That'll put you into a straitjacket. I tell you, that's a lie from hell itself. That's a lie from the devil, who does not want people to know the Lord Jesus in a life-changing way. You see, what we're offering is not religion. What we're offering is not kind of pull your shoes up and try a bit better. That's not what we're offering at all. If that was what I was offering, I think I would go home and take off this nice suit and go and do something else. That is not what we're offering. We're offering Christ. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. And the reason that many do not experience that is that they are not being filled with the Spirit. It is a command. Brother and sister in Christ, this is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a kind of a take it or leave it. And yet many today are blatantly disobeying the call of Scripture to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is for everyone. It's not just for the minister or for the elders or for some other select group. It's for every believer. Every single Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a continual experience. So it's not just that, oh right, 10 years ago I was filled with Spirit. And that's it. 2 weeks ago I was filled with the Spirit and that's it. No, there's a sense in which every day we are to be seeking God for that fresh infilling. And you say to me, how? What does that actually mean? If we're Christians, we have the Spirit living within us. He's there. So it's not a case of asking the Holy Spirit to come in again. I've used this illustration before, and I have deliberately this morning put it at the back of the bulletin. That doesn't mean that you now all look at it, but listen to this. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before. Again, if I can use the illustration, A.W. Tozer, he wrote once that he had heard another preacher, a man called R.A. Torrey, Reuben Torrey. And Reuben Torrey had preached a sermon on the Holy Spirit. Actually, just at the end of Torrey's life, he was an old man. And Tozer said that Reuben Torrey, that There was nothing sensational or very dramatic about the sermon because the man's voice was pretty feeble, he said, actually. But Tozer said, it remains one of the greatest sermons that I've actually ever heard. How was that? Tory said in that sermon, we do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that he gets more of us. We can have all of him if he can get all of us. And Tozer famously added, that is worth pondering. That's a bit of an understatement from Tozer. And it was the late John Stott that said something exactly the same. He spoke of the necessity of what he called a penitent turning from anything in our lives that would grieve God, alongside a believing openness to what God would do in us. And folks, that's it. That is it. Is there something in your life, is there something in our lives that is grieving to God? You'll never be filled with the Spirit if that is the case. Is there some secret sin in your life? You'll never be filled with the Spirit if you're harboring that. Is there something in your life that you know is wrong and you know should be dealt with and sorted? Some relationship that's broken down, some grievance with someone else, and you harbor it and you carry it on? You'll never be filled with the Spirit of God if that's the case. You see, we need to come to God with all of these things, and we need to ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us, and as it were, to make us channels of blessing, and then to fill us with all that he has. And as we do that, we can know his blessing. I wonder, how hungry and how thirsty are you for that? An old preacher used to say to the people, have you an experience of God? Oh yes, you talk about God. You read about God. You go and you sing about God. But have you an experience of God in your life? Have you this past week had an experience of God? Have you really sought God with all your heart? The psalmist said, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Jesus said, if a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from within him. You see, the problem is that far too often we are not hungry for God. We're satisfied with what we have. As the Old Testament prophet would put it, we're at ease in Zion, slumbering our way from week to week. And the Word of God comes and says, wake up. Wake up. The days in which you live are evil. Be filled with the Spirit. And the last thing that I would say, and I didn't actually read this, but there's another little phrase that I want to leave with you. So remember what I'm doing today. I'm simply bringing to your attention, if you like, three little pictures of the Christian man, the Christian woman in Kilkeel or wherever. They are born of God. They're born of God. May not have been dramatic, but they're born of God. They've come to know Christ. They're being filled with the Spirit day by day. They're seeking after God. And they're in step with the Spirit. That's what it says in Galatians 5 and verse 25, the apostle says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that quotation from the late James S. Stewart, great preacher in Scotland of a bygone generation. And Stewart said this, if only we would take Christ at his word today. If only the church, if each of us would allow the Holy Spirit to have his way within us. What a difference that would make. What a change it would bring. We are not to be those who are controlled by the flesh. And there are many in Kilkeel today, in the kingdom of Mourne, who are controlled by the flesh. Living actually, and they do not see it, and they would be offended if they heard me say it. They might want to come up and punch me on the nose for saying it, but they're living for the devil. I know that's a strong thing to say, but that's the truth of the matter. And the Word of God calls us to live for Christ. And to live in a way that eternity will tell. So I invite you today, young and old, to come and to step out for Jesus. The one who died, the one who rose again, the one who calls us. And I was sharing with the boys and girls the story about George Mueller, who that night and that time when he came to hear the gospel and God awakened him. He was born of the Spirit. And he speaks about that experience of being constrained by the love of Christ. Young person, will you allow yourself to be constrained by Christ's love for you? He loved you so much that he died for you, that he died on the cross on Calvary to give you a new life and a new start and an eternity with him. Allow that love to melt your heart. Allow that love to draw you. Give yourself to him. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. And as we live in this way, folks, we will rise above what you might call the mediocrity and the lack of integrity that is all around us. To rise above the gossip that saturates our community. To rise above the dishonesty that besets our land. To rise above the prejudices of our nation, and to live a life that backs up that we know God, that we know Jesus. And I finish with this, and whilst we're not singing it today, I refer to it, that hymn that we often sing, but we never can prove, the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. That's where it begins. Coming to Jesus, surrendering all to him, and asking for his blessing. May God bless his word to our heart. Let's pray for a moment. Father in heaven, we pray that you would take your word. We pray that you would apply it to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that within our church fellowship here in Kilkeel, that we might know increasingly that experience, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit and in step with the Spirit. Lord, lead us out in these days and bless the preaching of your word for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this lovely hymn as a way of response. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and a heavenly frame.